Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. And let's join together in that quiet, still space as we allow our eyes to close for the next few moments. Turning within and connecting with our willingness. Connecting with our willingness to see differently. Above all else, I want to see differently. Trusting that if we need a word, it will be given to us. If we need a thought, it will also be given, and trusting that we will hear exactly what we need to hear and share what we need to share. This holy instant we give to the Holy Spirit, placing the Holy Spirit in charge and taking a few mindful breaths and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Okay, so in the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 304. The second to last paragraph begins with, "As miracles in this world." So again, Sparkle Edition, page 304. In the original edition, we're in chapter 13, paragraph number 9. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 260, paragraph number 9. It's toward the top of the page. So we were reading last week in the section called The Role of Healing. And I'll go ahead and just finish the section up by reading these two final paragraphs. As miracles in this world join you to your brothers, so do your creations establish your fatherhood in heaven. You are the witnesses to the fatherhood of God, and he has given you the power to create the witnesses to your fatherhood in heaven. The miracle which God created is perfect, as are the miracles which you created in his name. They need no healing, nor do you, when you know them. Yet in this world, your perfection is unwitnessed. God knows it, but you do not, and so you do not share his witness to it. Nor do you witness unto him, for reality is witnessed to as one. God waits your witness to his Son and to himself. The miracles you do on earth are lifted up to heaven and to him. They witness to what you do not know, and as they reach the gates of heaven, God will open them. For never would he leave his own beloved Son outside them and beyond himself. So we'll pause right there. And I was actually, Paula, I was thinking of you when we were reading this first paragraph, because we've often talked about creations and, you know, what are the creations that the Course talks about. And I feel like, I feel like this paragraph makes it pretty clear that just as we establish God's fatherhood, our creations establish our fatherhood in heaven. So we have, just as God created us, we have continued to create in heaven, and so have creations as well. Which I think is just beautiful. It's comforting to me.
Did you say Paul or Paula?
Paula.
Oh, because
sorry,
that was
my voice.
I think I had asked about that too before, so I wasn't sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is really clear.
Yeah. And then even in the second paragraph, I love how it says, even that first sentence, yeah, in this world your perfection is unwitnessed. God knows it, but you do not, and so you do not share his witness to it. And so this is where, you know, the miracle comes in, where as we are willing to give our perceptions to the Holy Spirit and get that miracle back in exchange instead, We're learning how to witness for our perfection. We're learning that everything that we think about ourselves in these limited bodies and personalities isn't the truth about us. So we're learning how to witness our own perfection. So does anybody have any comments or questions or insights about either of these two paragraphs before we move on? Okay, let's keep reading then. So we have the next section. It's called The Shadow of Guilt. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's called The Cloud of Guilt. And if anybody, I see a couple folks just joined us. If you're following along, we're just beginning. It's called The Shadow of Guilt in the Sparkle and Original Editions. It's on page 305 in the Sparkle, page 256 in the Original Edition, and page 260 in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition. It's called The Cloud of Guilt there. Guilt remains the only thing that hides the Father. For guilt is the attack upon his son. The guilty always condemn. Having done so, they will condemn, linking the future to the past, as is the ego's law. Fidelity unto this law lets no light in, for it demands fidelity to darkness and forbids awakening. The ego's laws are strict, and breaches are severely punished. Therefore, give no obedience to its laws, for they are laws of punishment. And those who follow them believe that they are guilty, and so they must condemn. Between the future and the past, the laws of God must intervene, if you would free yourselves. Atonement stands between them like a lamp that shines so brightly that the chain of darkness in which you bound yourselves will disappear. So this is going to be a section that's heavily focusing on our belief in guilt and how guilt is how we are guiltless, how guilt is an idea in our mind that is based on nothing, and it's a belief that we need to learn how to let go in order to witness to our own perfection, as we talked about in that last paragraph. I'm feeling moved to continue reading. Release from guilt is the ego's whole undoing. Make no one fearful, for his guilt is yours. And by obeying the ego's harsh commandments, you bring its condemnation of yourself, and you will not escape the punishment it offers to those who obey it. The ego rewards fidelity to it with pain, for faith in it is pain. And faith can be rewarded only in terms of the belief in which the faith was placed. Faith makes the power of belief, and where it is invested determines its reward. For faith is always given what is treasured, and what is treasured is returned to you. And I'll pause there. So this paragraph is saying, and please, I will definitely give some space if anybody has anything to add or to share after I just share this, that this is, what this is saying to me is that I want to back up, and just as a reminder, which we've talked about before, even though we're talking about the ego as if it's a thing, we've talked in many calls about the ego is really nothing, that we're literally placing a belief in absolute nothingness. So it's not anything that's, you know, out there to hurt us. It's simply, you know, what this is talking about. If you, you know, obey the ego's laws, bringing condemnation on yourself and punishment, how it says the ego rewards fidelity to it with pain, et cetera, et cetera. What we're doing is essentially just blocking out the truth about ourselves, our perfection, and instead we're choosing to be not perfect. We're, instead of, you know, knowing ourselves as eternal, we're choosing to be not eternal. And so with that comes pain, because we're not, we're believing that we're something that we're actually not. I want to pause there and see, does anybody have anything to add or to share so far? Or any questions?
I just think this second line here, well, actually, Release from guilt is the ego's whole undoing. Make no one fearful, for his guilt is yours. And by obeying the ego's harsh commandments, you just can't escape this.
Right.
You just can't think somebody else is guilty
and escape it yourself
without it turning on yourself.
Right. Yeah, and so, that just, think of all the areas of our lives that this, plays out all the time. Like, asshole cut me off. I was
driving
home in the snow yesterday. It took me twice as long as it usually does, and there are two cars in particular that just flew by, not even following tire tracks, just like blazing through the unplowed snow. And, my reaction is like, holy smokes, like they're nuts.
Yeah.
And even in these subtle little judgments that we have, we're expressing that that other person is, not right, that they are a person, that they're somebody separate from us. So it's all just, again, something to look at with the Holy Spirit. But that's a really important line, Paula, that you highlighted there. Make no one fearful, for his guilt is yours. So you said it beautifully, that if we're making another guilty, we're deluding ourselves if we think we're going to escape it as well, because it's all starting from with us. We're going to be getting into, I think, in actually the very next paragraph, projection, that we actually have that guilt within ourselves first, but rather than acknowledge it being there, we project it and see it outwards. We see it out there. We project it onto others instead, and condemn them for what we actually are feeling within ourselves.
I got to say that I do it all the time. I do this all the time. I'm forever projecting this guilt outward onto other people. But I do have an awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the ability to just say, oh, there I go again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really believe it like I used to.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, and I'll just share a quick example just to build on that, because that really rings true for me. A couple of old tapes recently have started just, popping up in my mind, and I used to latch onto those old tapes and just go down that fearful path of like, it's a thought, maybe about a physical symptom or something like that. And in the past, it'd be like, oh, what is this? And like the whole, everything, the whole anxiety pattern that comes along with it. Now it's almost as if it's somebody else's voice. And I'm like,
yeah,
shut up. Like, I'm not listening to you anymore. And so it's just, it's that you start to just sort of witness it and realize that that's not my voice. That's the voice of, perhaps I could say, you could say the ego, I could say it's Corinne's voice, but it's not my true voice, because I am not Corinne. We are not, these
exactly.
These names.
You know it's not the truth. You know
right.
It's not the truth. That's it. It's not. And when I'm really in a good place, a saner place, I'm not all stressed, I'll even say, just shut up, thank you for sharing.
Uh-huh.
And I won't even listen to it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I'm not always sane.
And that's okay. Again, that's where, we're learning how to put both of our feet into the Holy Spirit's camp, because if we're not in that right-mindedness all the time, it's just simply because, again, we're still developing trust. We haven't made up our mind yet, and we're free to choose again whenever we're ready. Let's read the next paragraph. The world can give you only what you gave it. For being nothing but your own projection, it has no meaning apart from what you found in it and placed your faith in. Be faithful unto darkness, and you will not see, because your faith will be rewarded as you gave it. You will accept your treasure, and if you place your faith in the past, the future will be like it. Whatever you hold as dear, whatever you hold as dear, you think is yours. The power of your valuing will make it so. I'm going to read this next paragraph too. Atonement brings a reevaluation of everything you cherish, for it is the means by which the Holy Spirit can separate the false and the true, which you have accepted into your minds without distinction. Therefore, you cannot value one without the other, and guilt has become as true for you as innocence. You do not believe the Son of God is guiltless, because you see the past and see him not. When you condemn a brother, you are saying, I, who is guilty, choose to remain so. You have denied his freedom, and by so doing, you have denied the witness unto yours. You could as easily have freed him from the past and lifted from his mind the cloud of guilt that binds him to it, and in his freedom would have been your own. Let's pause there. Ooh, there's a lot of juicy stuff in these two paragraphs. So that first sentence of that first paragraph we just read, the world can give you only what you gave it. For being nothing but your own projection, it has no meaning apart from what you found in it and placed your faith in. And again, this is very clear right here. It's saying the whole world is nothing but our own projection. There's nothing actually out there. It's all coming from within. So if we're carrying around that guilt in our own mind, we're going to be seeing witnesses for it out there because it's in our own mind. It's always our task to do is to simply be willing to look at what's coming up with the Holy Spirit, to own what's coming up, to own the beliefs that we have, and look at those beliefs with the Holy Spirit. To be transformed, to be undone. And I thought it was also really powerful, too, how it says, be faithful unto darkness, and you will not see, because your faith will be rewarded as you gave it. So if we, again, are choosing to listen to the ego, we're not going to see the witnesses to love. Of course we're not, because we've placed our faith in seeing nothingness. I have more I can say, but I feel like I've been talking a lot, so I want to just pause and see if anybody has anything that's come up for you in these two paragraphs so far. Any sentences that stand out to you? I can add that the latter paragraph that we just read, the first sentence, atonement brings a reevaluation of everything you cherish, for it is the means by which the Holy Spirit can separate the false and the true, which you have accepted into your minds without distinction. So we don't know that we can't distinguish between what's false and what's true because we're profoundly confused. And so that's, again, where we need the Holy Spirit. We need to turn to the Holy Spirit, bring our beliefs to it to receive that miracle. The atonement is the undoing of fear. So to let fear be undone in our minds, we have to take what we've made, which are all these false beliefs, to the Holy Spirit to let them be replaced with miracles, with the truth. Questions, comments, insights so far?
I feel like these paragraphs are, I mean, there's so much there, but they're super clear too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost just like I'm listening to it and I'm like,
uh-huh.
Just letting it sink in, you know, just letting it really sink in. Cause it reminds me of the back part, what is it called?
The clarification.
The clarification or the evaluation of a trust and all that, like just super clear. Just this is what it is.
Yeah.
The guilt, you're gonna feel like crap, or you could let it go and be freed and feel truth.
yeah. I am with you. It's just always a good reminder to me, again, that sentence that I just read about the Holy Spirit can separate the false and the true, which we've accepted into our minds without distinction. It's just a good reminder for me that, you know, I can't self-correct. We can't fix our egos with our egos because, obviously, you know, that's a nice closed loop there. So we need something from outside of our thought system to help us out of this, which is where the Holy Spirit comes in. So it's a good reminder to let the Holy Spirit choose for God for me. I don't know how.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Let's read the next paragraph. Lay not his guilt upon him, for his guilt lies in his secret, that he thinks he has done this unto you. Would you then teach him that he is right in his delusion? The idea that the guiltless Son of God can attack himself and make himself guilty is insane. In any form, in any one, believe this not. For sin and condemnation are the same, and the belief in one is faith in the other, calling for punishment instead of love. Nothing can justify insanity, and to call for punishment upon yourself must be insane. So I'm going to see if I can share an example here. It's a little fuzzy in my mind because I haven't thought about it in a while, so I'm hoping it comes out okay. But this first sentence, lay not your guilt upon him, for his guilt lies in his secret, that he thinks that he has done this unto you. Would you then teach him that he is right in his delusion? I've seen this play out with my husband a number of times because he'll go shopping, he'll go food shopping, and he'll bring something home that wasn't, like, the right thing, you know? Like, it wasn't the organic version of, like, you know, what I wanted, or it was just something just a little bit off, and he had, like, the best of intentions and then is, like, let down because, you know, it's not, it's me essentially saying, you did this wrong. And it can be really, really subtle. And so that sentence right here where it's saying, his guilt lies in his secret that he thinks he has done this unto you. When I am, even if it's, you know, I'm not really pointing my finger, but I'm using that as like an example. If I'm pointing my finger and saying, like, and affirming, yes, you did this wrong. It wasn't done the right way. It's bringing up guilt in him. And I'm sort of solidifying it. And in doing that, in solidifying his guilt that he's wrong, I'm solidifying it in myself. Because even by my decision that there was a right, I feel like, let me pause. In what my task is actually to do is to look at the beliefs that I was holding on to that I think, you know, that there's a certain way that he needs to do things. For instance, my belief in, let's say, that organic peppers are better than non-organic peppers. I'm just using a stupid example. But I need to look at that belief with the Holy Spirit because the world will say, yes, organic peppers are better for you than non-organic peppers, but what am I affirming by making that belief real for myself? That I'm a body, that I'm subject to the laws, quote-unquote, of nutrition, that I can be hurt if I eat certain things over others. So these are all the beliefs that are fueling this finger-pointing, you know, that I'm engaging in where, you know, I'm putting, and I'm feeling on a deep, deep unconscious level, feeling guilty for holding on to those beliefs because, you know, they're not true, and part of my mind knows that deep, deep down. So instead, I'm seeing that guilt out there, you know, acted out in this interplay between this exchange between my husband and I, when the work to do is instead to first, you know, maybe pause, look at it with the Holy Spirit, and look at those underlying beliefs that I'm holding on to as well. So I don't know if that made any sense.
Oh, Corinne, you are touching on something here.
Okay.
That is so subtle.
It is subtle.
I mean, you're bringing something up here. Oh man, I'm really not aware of this a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is that subtle.
It's. Oh.
And
boy.
That's where it goes back when it says. It said earlier. We just read this. Release from guilt is. I'm back. back a page. Released from guilt is the ego's whole undoing. Make no one fearful, for his guilt is yours. This is an example on a subtle, subtle level. I think in the FIP edition it says make no one – oh, it does say make no one fearful. I just found it. I thought it might say guilty. This is that same thing, and a subtle example of that, that I – you can exchange the word fear for guilt. They're the same thing. So make no one guilty. Make no one fearful. What am I doing on a subtle level by accusing my husband of not buying the right pepper is making him fearful and guilty and thus reinforcing it in myself and keeping us both bound to our limited separate identities in this.
Now in that situation, that scenario that you just talked about, I mean, like, I'm thinking here, last night with my daughter stayed over, and she wanted me to get the fireplace, to light the fireplace. And it's, you know, it's a gas fireplace. And I was having an awful time with it. I couldn't get the damn thing lit. And and on some level, I was getting angry because she even asked me to do that. So there was something playing out there that was not nice. It just was not nice. And I can't even explain it. But in that situation, what's the best thing to do? Because sometimes you can't even talk about it. It's so... Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go back to just, in that situation, doing what we always do, and that's pausing and saying, Holy Spirit, help!
Yeah. And again,
taking a moment, you know, to stop doing what you're doing and try to get that space in there of genuinely turning to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we're so on automatic pilot, you know, it's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it. It's sort of like being on automatic pilot. You're just not thinking. You're just you're just reacting. In that situation, again, it goes back to I must have decided wrongly. Because I'm not at peace. And really having faith that the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of that is, I think, the most powerful thing, just an awareness of that. And that's kind of what I did in that situation. You know, just underneath it all, I felt like I was just subtly, we were kind of punching one another subtly. I can't actually... explain it. It just wasn't a nice situation, and we were both getting more frustrated by the minute. And on some level, I just had faith that, you know, let this go. Just let it go. And we did. We basically did, and it turned out to be a very nice evening.
Awesome. And that's, you know, that's where, so even on this subtle level that we're talking about, these subtle exchanges where, you know, we have that impulse to be like, ah, they didn't do it right, or, you know, the other person, or like, you know, get frustrated with it. But it's so subtle, and it's there, you know, it's there. And the times then that we can become aware of it and turn to the Holy Spirit instead, just like we miracle work, you know, in other more obvious ways, like Paula, you've shared, you know, coworker stories in the past, and big shifts happening, you know, from your work with the Course, you know, in like work relationships. When we become aware with these more subtle examples that, again, you know, we're pointing the finger, we're saying that that person is doing something wrong or that they're guilty, it becomes really amazing then to see at the in this instance too, on these really subtle levels, if we can turn to the Holy Spirit instead of continuing down that, you know, guilt path, how those situations can shift and change too. And I know that this has happened with my husband and I can't think of any specific examples at the moment, but I can think even my mom, who, as some of you know her, you know, she's very dedicated to the Course, as is my stepdad, and I remember her telling me one time that there was some sort of, you know, maybe similar situation between them. I don't remember any details. And rather than her outwardly try to correct or fix the situation, she went to the Holy Spirit, and then shifts and changes happen, and then suddenly my stepdad is doing things differently in a way that, you know, was just so obvious that it all occurred because of my mom's turning to the Holy Spirit rather than trying to, you know, fix it out there. So we can see, we have these experiences, these miracles happen, even in these, you know, more subtle ways as well. Ah, good stuff, right?
Corinne, this is Jenna, guys. Hi.
Hey, Jenna.
Hey,
welcome.
Everybody. Can you hear me okay? I'm on speaker.
Yes, you sound good.
Okay. I was laying with the baby, but I was like almost wanting to jump up and down. I was putting him down to sleep, but I wanted to jump up and down when you gave that example because I have four children, and my middle two I've experienced, and of course, we're children of God, and we cannot suffer illness, right? If we could only believe that. But my middle two have experienced severe food allergies and severe eczema as a result of me trying to heal them through nutrition for the past 5 years. Mm. And so I have turned to every extreme diet possible. And the very last one we did was raw, all organic, raw vegan, right? We've given up pretty much everything, right? And so we were doing what I thought was, and I had seen an example of another woman who had, healed her children of worse eczema and food allergies with the same diet, and she had, she had a lot of success. Well, I did it for several months, and I knew that it could get worse before it got better. And the children's father, I'm not with him, he was not exactly on the same page as myself, But he was kind of going along with it. But I had so much faith, when I started all of this 5 years ago that I could, heal my children with a natural diet. And I read so much on nutrition and yada, yada, yada. And I was buying them the best of foods and like we're eating like in the Garden of Eden. Are you kidding me? Like, how could I possibly be doing them any harm? And so lo and behold, things get worse and worse and worse. And finally, I was essentially brought to that realization that, you know what, you're putting your faith in matter. You're putting your faith in something of the world. You're putting your faith in something that is not even real to heal. And healing, as we read last week, comes from the only true healer is the Holy Spirit. And so it was absolutely because, you hit it right on the target that it is so subtle. It's so subtle, but anything that would reaffirm that we are a body, anything whatsoever, that we need to use a certain shampoo, that we, let's say they're spraying and chemtrails and all this stuff, and we look up and, oh, we've got fear because, anything that says that we are susceptible or vulnerable as bodies is identifying with the ego.
Yeah.
And it is so subtle. And I always, now... I've actually come in contact, after praying to Jesus, with some Christian Science practitioners. And Christian Science, sounds like Scientology, it is totally not. Just want to clarify. but I was blown away. Christian Science is definitely not Scientology, and I just wanted to clarify that. But it is so very similar to the Course. And what they do is they heal as Jesus did by affirming the absolute truth. They transcend duality, and they see the absolute truth that we are divine children of God, and that therefore, when made in that God didn't create the body. However, but they say that we are created in His image and likeness, and therefore we are perfect and can suffer no illness or harm whatsoever, and in any fashion, that we could suffer no lack of any form. And so I had to literally, singing I Surrender All, literally, walking around my house one day when it came to a point where I had to give up on the diet thing. And I said, I can't do this. And so I'm working with a Christian Science practitioner now, and they are praying and affirming and holding steadfast to the truth that my children are divine children of God. And they are not egos. They are not bodies. And healing comes, through Christ and that absolute truth,
Awesome.
Yeah. And so I'm so glad you brought that up because that is so hitting close to home with me right now. You have no idea. Mm. And And I'm so surprised that, you know, that you nailed something so subtle, because I've gone through so much in, you know, the past 3 years of studying the course, but that right there, I had come, you know, backed up from so many things, and I am having to ever expand my understanding of truth and release more and more ego identity. And even something that says, you're eating the, you know, it's so much better to eat the purest foods and drink the purest water and do everything as if when we were just, you know, created as humans. Well, we really weren't created as humans, and we're not. Right?
Yeah.
That's good news.
It is good news.
So, and we never left our creator. We are saved, you know, and we may be asleep, albeit, but we are saved at home with our Father. We're really, you know, not separate bodies. We're not susceptible to disease. We're not susceptible to, if we eat those unorganic peppers. Trust me, I'm going through this now like you have no idea. I am going through, and I literally had to say, you know what, and the lady, the Christian practitioner told me, she said, if you want to feed those kids pizza every day, and I thought, gasp, oh my God, you know, like, but she said, if you want to feed those kids pizza every day, you feed them pizza every day. They're not going to be harmed by it. And I was like, and that really, I, of course, now I'm eating everything that I, forbid myself to eat for years, right? Now I'm just kidding out, like, donuts, I want a donut. Yes, I can eat a donut, and a donut is not going to hurt me. And, but I have to really be conscious in the moment that I'm just not emotionally eating, right? But, but I love handing it over and saying, God, thank you that this donut doesn't harm me. Great.
Right.
That's awesome. You know?
That's,
and,
yeah.
And then the ego comes back in and says, the guilt. And here's what I want to bring it back to, with what we're talking about tonight, is that guilt. That guilt comes up so subtly that, oh, you're eating a donut. You shouldn't be eating a donut. The donut has really got, oh my God, it's got some high fructose corn syrup. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know? And so if anybody's identifying with me right now.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
You got it.
It is so very subtle. And you know what the funniest thing is, that you spoke about your husband and my partner, you know, the man I'm with now with my baby, his father. He'll eat something that I haven't eaten for a while, and of course I go right back to, are you going to eat that? And then I'm like, yes, he's going to eat that, and he's going to be fine, you know? But I want to see it in him. I want to see it in him as opposed to recognizing that it's in me, you know, and just like with you, with your husband. And it's so very subtle. But then I have to back up and say, if I make him guilty, I feel the slightest bit of, you know, guilt for eating something, you know, we have to look at things as preferences. It might be a preference to have this, you know, this organic pepper, you know, but it's got to be a preference. It can't be this need to have the organic pepper or else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the way I've been dealing with it lately.
I'm sorry
to take up so much time.
Oh, Jenna, that was awesome. Paul, I just heard you.
No, that was totally helpful. And I think what you said earlier, Corinne, about the pause, and I think if we do that and then choose, then it's not coming from a place of fear and panic. It's more coming from a place of peace. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because it's easy. It's so easy to get into that loop. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it sure is. Corinne, Jenna, your example was so helpful. Thank you for sharing that. I have something to share, but I think did I just hear Carol?
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly say I was reminded of being in the circle with your mom, you know, during Course in Miracles, and her talking about, you know, if we put our faith in aspirin's going to help us, you know, cure a headache, then that's what's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we put our faith.
Right.
And, what we put our energy into.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm, you know, not that I'm trying to quote her, but, you know, I have twins that I raised, I say, holistically. And for years and years, it was organic this and organic that, and it had to be, you know, anyway. They are very, very healthy, and they are doing their own thing today. because it's not, I mean, even me, I'm not strict about, okay, it has to be this way or it has to be that way, because I like the, you know, what you were saying about pausing. It's about, you know, where am I putting my energy? Where am I putting my faith? Where am I putting my, you know, am I going it down that road of fear, or am I going down that road of, you know, like you're saying, asking the Holy Spirit for direction? Mm-hmm. And I've got to be very honest. When I was a new mother, I was very much into fear of, it has to be this way and only this way, because this is the only way they're going to be able to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
absolutely.
It just, you know, thank God they are healthy, and thank God they also have a lot of sense today in knowing that, no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be just fine. Mm-hmm.
That's very empowering.
Well, I have actually learned a lot from my kids.
Oh, awesome.
They are our greatest teachers, I really do feel.
Mm. Awesome. You know, Carol, what you were just saying reminded me of how my mom also says, because she and I talk about this often, that, you know, if we're placing our belief in the aspirin, you know,
right,
and the aspirin works, we have to be where we're at, because
right,
because we are okay with accepting healing through an aspirin, but
right,
we're still too afraid to accept healing directly from the Holy Spirit. It's still too fearful to accept healing, you know, directly through the mind. And so that's where we can't feel guilty, you know, and the Course says this. I think it calls it something about agents, and it's talking to, it's referring to medication. It doesn't mean corrective agents, I think is the term. It doesn't mean that the use of them is bad. You know, it's not like we need to feel guilty if that's where our belief still is. It's just about being willing to look at that belief with the Holy Spirit while we take our aspirin or whatever, you know, it may be.
Corinne.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that
okay,
that actually, we were talking last week about that, about, and you guys are looking for an example, and I wanted to bring it up, and I was actually trying to get off of my mute, and it was not working for me very well, so I couldn't actually add. But we were talking about how he will not take anything away from us while it's still needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because fear does not, or love does not provoke fear of any sort. And so
right,
if we're, like you said, if we're scared of going straight to the source, you know, then we do use matter, and we do use things of the earth. You know, we put our faith in them, and that's how they do work.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what we were talking about last week then, of, you know, we won't take anything away while we still have need of it.
Right, right. Oh, that's helpful. Thank you for making that link. Awesome. The other example that I wanted to share before I forget, too, when you were sharing, Jenna, was I can't remember where I heard Nook Sanchez speak about this example, but apparently her daughter for a time, I believe when she was in high school, was very ill. And ultimately, Nook and her partner realized that healing was only going to come about if they started working on healing in their own minds. And they did just that. They started, you know, taking their beliefs about their daughter to the Holy Spirit, you know, the beliefs that they thought of, you know, what needed to happen, rather than, you know, they had been down the road of problem solving out there, trying to fix it for their daughter, and nothing was working. So they finally realized that they needed to go within and start working on their own beliefs, you know, healing their own minds, and then their daughter got better. So it was
incredible.
That gives me a lot of hope,
Corinne, because I'm truly working with this Christian Science practitioner who does healing treatments, and it's she lives in New Mexico, so we do this all via prayer and virtually, and you know, and I'll tell you guys, if you ever, you know, it's so hand in hand with the Course, and the terminology is almost exactly the same, and they just hold that truth, you know, with you, you know, where two or more are joined, it just makes it so much more powerful. And so she will do a treatment, which is she'll go into quiet and do a prayer and just hold that truth. And how, and because our minds are you know, connected, that I receive that and I feel it. And so the next time I go to meditate, I have an overwhelming sense of peace, and I didn't have to struggle to get there. Like, I didn't have to sit there for hours. It just comes. And they absolutely, just like, you know, who are the people that were healed by Jesus? Those who had faith in him. And he is the one who held the absolute truth about that person. He never said, go take a pill. He never said, go brush your teeth and that'll heal your cavities. He never said, go drink, you know, go drink that or go, you know, go do exercise a little bit more. No, he, in the moment that they came to him with their faith and brought faith to him, he healed them by knowing the absolute truth about them and nothing else. And so it was their faith in him, which right now our faith in the Christ, to heal us, it absolutely can. And so she's holding that truth for me and my children. And it's busting me wide open. I'm having to expand my, my acceptance of truth, like broaden it. And it's blown me wide open. And I could not be even more, you know, like more. Well, you're actually the one who put, I saw the video on your Facebook thing, right?
About Corrine Walson, right?
She is my, yes, she's the, yeah, she is awesome. The first, yep. She is now my mentor, and she is my, she is our, she does the Christian Science Healing prayer treatments for us.
Awesome. That's awesome.
She is amazing.
I talked about that video on the call and shared the link on the Miracle Share ACIM study group because I also have a Facebook page. So if anybody is wondering who we're talking about, you can check out that posting in the group of Corrine. She was talking about a healing that happened when she had witnessed a woman with her daughter. The woman had collapsed on like a sidewalk. It's a really powerful, powerful, powerful example.
Oh, I was in absolute tears, and I said, that's it. This is it. You know, like mm-hmm. this is where I want to be. Like, this is transcending the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Ugh.
Yeah. So I appreciate everybody's comments because it's really giving me hope for my children. And, of course, she keeps saying, Jenna, there is no condition to treat. There is no condition. That is the illusion. They are children
of
God. It is not your responsibility. You don't have to carry this burden or this weight. You simply need to hand over all of the images that your mind has created in regards to your children and give them to the Holy Spirit and recognize they are not real. The complete unreality of them is what is going to bring truth to the material picture.
Mm. I love it.
I've got chills.
I have chills too.
I do too.
I think everybody on the call has chills.
Yeah.
I get chills.
Oh, wow.
And the one Grant. Other thing I wanted to, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. How about, let's see. Was that Angela?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Angela.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, you know, I've been really struggling with this, but it may be in a good way. So, I think about a couple of weeks ago, I was on the call and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you know. I don't understand, Holy Spirit. I question more and more and more. And it's okay because, you know, it's my basis to, if you tell me, hey, you know, try this, you know, like, you know what I mean? I accept it because that's just the way I've learned. I don't know whether that makes any sense. Anyway, with all that said, and maybe it doesn't make any sense, I had picked up Nick Sanchez, The End of That Death, and that's helping me. And everything is pointing me in the direction. I happen to see something about, Ed, there was a trailer about he's going to make a movie, and then it led me to another, and I know you know who I'm talking about, but he's going to make a movie.
Craig Villarubia, his A Course in Miracles, the movie?
Right. And then, you know, there were some other things on YouTube, so I happened to see Kenneth Bach and Carrie Triffitt, and when you know, I said, you know what, let me just tap on it and see and listen. And so then it's brought to my attention because what I'm searching for is to try to understand Holy Spirit. The trouble is I continue to think Holy Spirit is outside of me, and I'm sorry, this doesn't come full. You know, it doesn't exactly correlate with what we're talking about maybe, but if I have no trust of Holy Spirit, I'm not going anywhere. I it feels like I'm stuck. So this is really helping, and I see, like, in so many areas of my life, the thing I can say to you is I see my ego's resistance. I can see my ego's resistance with at work. I can see it with my family. I can see it with my friends. I can see it on the phone call. I can see it. I can see it everywhere. And even though I know it's like, okay, you are where you are, it's hard. It's hard to be where you are and say, okay, the only thing I can say is that first it's kind of like accepting me and realizing, oh, that's right, that's where I am. And I liked the idea that like the examples that had been shared about, you know what, if you are where you are, then don't fight it. Just be where you are. But maybe it's Catholicism. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it is. But the idea of trying to trust something outside of me, I'm thinking God is outside of me, Holy Spirit is outside of me, and I don't know where the heck I got this, even though I know I heard otherwise, it doesn't resonate. And so, it's one of those, it's coming together. It's just, you know, I even see, like, in my daily activities, where's my mind a lot of the times? Am I working with spirit or am I working somewhere else? Have I been searching other avenues? You know, all these, you know, sure. I'm like, you know, you do whatever you got to do. Just, and it's funny, searching the other avenues of you know, faith and whatever, and yet it brings me back to the Course.
Uh-huh.
So thank you for letting me share that, because there's nowhere else I can share this.
Yeah. Oh, Angela, thank you so much for sharing. I'm
You're
really
welcome.
Glad to hear that that you picked up Nook's book and that's helping, and it sounds like, you know, you're hearing what you need to hear, and that's beautiful.
Thank you. And I guess I'm hoping that I get to know the Holy Spirit. I really do, because it just seems so foreign to me.
Yeah, and ask, you know, ask for, express that to the Holy Spirit, that you want to know the Holy Spirit. And
okay.
It'll show up for you exactly in a way that, you know, that resonates. I have no doubt.
Can I just say something to you, Angela?
Sure.
I, too, have struggled with this disconnect, for lack of a better way of putting it. And recently, Paula, a lot of people on this call have said, you know, Holy Spirit, help, you know. And it works. I can tell you it works.
I've got a quick example of how well it works.
Please.
The electricity went off in the house last night, and dinner was in the oven, and we were starving. And it was only in maybe 10 minutes. It's supposed to cook an hour. And the electricity went off, and my daughter and I were both like, oh, my God, we're starving, and we want to eat this food. And she said, just stop right now. We're two or more joined together. Let's pray about this right now. I took that casserole. I made a chicken pot pie. I took that out of the oven. It was hot as hell. It was done. I don't know how. I can't. But
that is so awesome.
It was like,
amazing.
Oh, my God, this is a miracle.
That's awesome.
Ask and you shall receive.
Ask and you
right?
shall receive. I mean, it had a crust on it. I mean, a chicken pot pie has a crust on it. That's got to cook. And it was fine. It was
That's
perfect.
Awesome.
And it was absolutely delicious.
Wow.
So,
That's
I don't
thank
know.
You.
Thank you, Paula. That was.
Thank you.
That's like a loaves and fishes, you know. Like I'm. Just,
oh, it really
wow.
was. It really was. I mean, I was blown away by it.
Well, I'm sorry, I missed it. As soon as you were about to tell the remedy for what happened at your house with the food, my phone just dropped the call. This is Carla. Hey, can you just repeat what the good news is? I want to hear it.
Starving. I made a chicken pot pie. It took all afternoon to make this thing. And so I didn't want to eat anything in between time because I wanted to enjoy this. And put it in the oven. It was supposed to take an hour to cook. Within 10 minutes, the electricity went out. And we were all like, oh, my God. You know, the oven totally shut off. And we were so hungry. I could have cried. She said, let's just pray about this. Just stop, the two of us, and ask for help. And, you know, we calmed down, and I said, okay, I'm going to take it out and, you know, just dish it out and see what happens. It was absolutely, it almost burnt my mouth. It was so hot. It was absolutely, the crust was completely
cooked.
Totally
cooked, yeah.
It was absolutely delicious. I don't know.
And it's very possible that if your electricity had not turned out, turned off, you would not have A, had that experience, or B, you might have had an overcooked meal.
I don't know.
I
have no idea. All I know is it was done and it was delicious. In 10 minutes? I don't know. But I'd say that's the power of prayer.
That's awesome.
Amen.
I'm just aware of what time it is, and before we end the call, Jenna, did you have anything that you wanted to add? I feel like you may have gone to say something earlier, or are you good?
Recently, with being in touch with the, you know, Christian Science practitioners and such, I don't know, I never noticed this before, and perhaps you guys all knowing each other had already mentioned this on a previous call, but atonement for me was always a very elusive term and concept, even though I understood what it meant. At the same time, the word itself was just like, and I didn't really quite grasp it. Well, in Christian Science, they break it down to at-one-ment,
mm-hmm.
and that bringing it all back, you know, and joining it, uniting it as one, at one moment. And you know, since it's so heavy in this section, atonement, it just came to me real quick to just mention that for some reason, at one moment.
Awesome.
I just really think that's awesome.
That is. That's helpful. Thank you. Wow, everybody. Oh, thank you so much for another super, super powerful call.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. I love you all.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Love you all.
Thank you. Yeah?